Hey, COC, how's it going today? You doing all right? Are you doing all right? It's kind of a reluctant applause today. It's probably because you know you have to spend Christmas with family. I'm just joking. That's not it. Hey, man, thanks for being here today. We are in the second and last week of a short series that we started last week called Found People Find People. Did you enjoy last week with Matt and doing a great job with that? It's awesome. Yeah. We wanted to do on the heels of the What's Different series, a series that actually then prepared you even a little bit more to step out in your faith and share the love of Jesus Christ that you hopefully experience yourselves. So we kind of planned it that week. And last week, Matt did a great job with explaining to you how you share your faith. And then you could take the knowledge that you gained from What's a Different series and talking with people with different religions to use that and share your faith. Now, this particular week, we're telling you why. We're telling you why you share your faith. So last week was how I share my faith, and this week is how why I share my faith. And actually, I changed the title even before I just came out here. It's not just follow me, it's actually called Following and Fishing. Following and Fishing, and that's what we're going to talk about today briefly, the why we share our faith. Dave Ferguson wrote a book called The Big Idea, and in his book, he wrote this. He said, the effective teacher is like a person who takes a strong rope, ties one idea around the big idea of Scripture, and then he ties the other around the major themes of life, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, he struggles to kind of pull the two together and make them connect. And if you read your Bible, you will see that Jesus presents several big ideas, not complicated ideas, but big ideas over and over and over. He just doesn't mess around. It's one big idea. And Jesus didn't confuse. He didn't want to confuse a lot of people with a lot of little ideas. So he presented usually one big idea with one clear call to action. And that's what he does over and over. And one of those being exactly what we're talking about today is found people find people. That's one of Jesus's big ideas. Found people find people. And in Matthew chapter 4, 17 through 20, we actually see one of those big ideas, and this particular one, found people, find people, very clearly communicated. And if you got your Bibles, you can turn there. I think it's on the screens. But Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 21, through 20, it says this: from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then in verse 18, it says, as then Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said this, one big idea, come, follow me. Come, follow me. And he says, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Now listen to this next part, pretty remarkable. It says, at once they left their nets and they followed him. At once. Now, I can't help but notice what Jesus didn't say to Peter and Andrew on that particular day. He didn't say something like this, hey, come, be Christians. He didn't say, come, be Christians. He said, come, follow me. And that whole Christian concept can kind of get blurred today and misunderstood. We even did an entire series on Christian and what it means to be a Christian. And I love what Don Everts puts into perspective with this Christian idea. And he wrote this in his book, Jesus with Dirty Feet. He said this, Jesus was not a Christian. And he never asked anybody to become a Christian. He never built steepled buildings. He never drew up a theological treatise. He never took an offering. He never wore religious garments. He never even incorporated for tax purposes. He simply called people to follow him. That's what he said. That's it. That. Follow me. Despite its simplicity, that's it. That's what Jesus did. He said, follow me. Think of that just again. Jesus' call. Follow me. And then the response that we read in Matthew chapter 4 was pretty remarkable. They dropped their familiarity of life, their familiar nets. And they followed in faith a Jewish carpenter. A Jewish carpenter. And it's never, ever, friends, regardless of how long you'll go to church or what church you will ever go to again in your life, it will never, ever be anything more than that. And if you're getting any other message besides that in any church, including this church, then you're getting the wrong message. When Jesus approached two brothers by the names of Peter and Andrew, his message was simple and it was clear. And what's remarkable is Peter and Andrew's theology was as pure as it gets. As pure as it gets. Jesus said, follow me, and look at what they did. They did. They followed Jesus. Simple. Simple. Clear. One big idea. And that's because Jesus was not a complicated man. He wasn't. And his call wasn't a confusing call. It was simple. It was follow me. And the simplicity and the clarity of that big idea, follow me, is what catalyzed a movement that Christ followers moved into action. And what's crazy is it's still alive today. It's why you're here today. The simple message of follow me and the action of following him is why you and I are sitting here 2,000 plus years later talking about a Jewish carpenter. Is that not remarkable to you? I mean, to me, it just blows my mind. It blows my mind. Now, here's what I get as a pastor who's been in the ministry for over 20 plus years. I get this a lot, especially since I've taken the step of becoming a lead pastor. I will get this. We've had people come and we've had people leave, and this is one of their primary questions. But what about deeper teaching? What about more bigger concepts? And if that's you today, I'm going to answer that question the same way that I answer that question all the time. And it's simply this. Is that not what the young rich ruler wanted? Is that not what he wanted? Right? He came to Jesus and he proclaimed to know the commandments. He knew a lot about Jesus. He actually said, I know what the commandments are. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Do not dishonor your father and mother. That's found in Mark chapter 10. And he had obeyed these commands since he was a boy. And he wanted more. He wanted more. He wanted deeper teaching. He wanted deeper Bible. He wanted deeper theology. He wanted Jesus for, guess what? More information. And in the process of wanting to know Jesus more for information, he couldn't grasp the concept of transformation. He couldn't get that. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that if that's you, there's nothing wrong with wanting to know more about Jesus, but don't complicate the simplicity of what the message is. Follow me. Follow me, because if you tread into, I want to know more, I want to know more, I want to know more, then you are treading into dangerous territory that will take you farther away from the simple and clear message of follow me, of follow me. You're going to dangerous territory. Now, here's what I think about. This is kind of interesting to me, but what do you think might happen today if we challenge people in church the same way? Follow me, Jesus says. Guys, we struggle with the simplicity of what we're trying to function as a church from week to week. You know what I'm saying? Of doing this or doing that because Jesus commands us to do that. So what if we said to actually follow Jesus is to surrender everything about your life and actually follow him? Follow him. Here's why this is such a great challenge. Because if you could grasp the concept of following him, then everything else that flows from the Word of God, that is challenged to you from the Word of God each and every week here at this church, all of that stuff wouldn't be a problem. Because you would realize God already owns all my stuff. It's not a problem giving him anymore. It's not a problem sharing my faith because God already owns my life. So I'm just simply sharing the good news with everybody else around me. A total and wholehearted following me. What do you think if we challenged everybody the same way today? And said, this is really what it means to be a Christian. Following Jesus. The invitation of Jesus to follow me was not an invitation to be saved. The invitation to follow Jesus was a call from the follower of the way to actually follow the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to say that one more time. The invitation from Jesus was not an invitation to be saved. It was a call from the follower of the way to follow the way. And the way in the Bible is Jesus. The way in the Bible is Jesus. And he demonstrated that way of following him every day with a simple command. Fish for men. Fish for men. And that's because found people find people. Can I get an amen? That's right. Period. So let me ask you this one question before we really jump in today. How willing and ready are you to follow Jesus and fish for men? Just think about that. Let that one sink in a little bit as we talk through some things today. How willing and how ready are you to follow Jesus and fish for men? I kind of wrap that concept and that question up with what I call, if we're going to follow along with the fishing concept, the bobber concept. Who here likes to go fishing? Anybody out there like to go fishing? Raise your hand up high. Who here is a really great fisherman? Raise your hand. Yeah, I see a couple hands out there. They're the ones that post the picture of the fish, but they get a real close-up one of it, so it looks this big. You know what I'm talking about, right? No, I'm just teasing you. You're good fishermen, right? I grew up on Table Rock Lake, and I used to fish all the time. I actually lost more of my dad's poles than the fish that I actually caught. But I fished all the time. I had the naivety of that 6, 7, 8-year-old boy that I would cast it out, put the worm on the end of the hook, put the bobber on, cast it out, and then I would leave my pole on the edge of the dock. And I'd go crawdad hunting and do what any 7 or 8-year-old boy would do. It's like, I ain't gonna wait around. That's boring, right? So I lose the pole in the process. But if your dad was there, then you had to sit there. So I would look at my bobber. And there really is few things that come close to the comparisons and the excitement of pure joy within your body as a child to see that bobber start to wiggle. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? And those of you that are adults that missed out on that fishing idea in your life, you've gone and taken your kids fishing and you see that bobber just start to move just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You're just waiting for it to, boom, just disappear. This is the bobber concept when we're talking about fishing for men. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says this. This is the bobber concept. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. And it says, always, always, sometimes, hey, once a month, how about Christmas Eve when I need to invite friends to church? Or Easter when I invite my family to church? Only those times? Now it says, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks, to the hope that lies within you. To the hope that lies within you. And friends, that's the bobber concept. That's nothing more than a command for you and I to be ready on a moment's notice to set the hook. Are we? Are you ready at a given moment to set the hook? That's the question. Now, when you're thinking about that, how willing and ready am I to follow Jesus and fish for men, I bet you're starting to think of a lot of fish that got away this past year, that came across your path in your life. Maybe it was pre-What's the Difference series, and we hadn't talked about Islam that week, but you ran into that Muslim friend, and you weren't prepared. Or maybe it was pre-the Catholic week, and you got family members that are Catholic, and you just didn't know what to say to them. You didn't know how to set the hook yet. Or you missed that week when we talked about Catholicism and you haven't had a chance to check up on it with the video cast. Right? Think about this. The agenda that's found in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus had for those first followers, guys, it's the same agenda that he has for us. And what Jesus says he's going to make us is not always quite what we think it is that he's going to make us. And that's maybe why some of us are so hesitant in actually fishing for men. Because when he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men, we're just kind of like, what? What? That's it? That's what it means to follow you? I'm going to be made a fisher of men? Huh? Can it get any better than that? Is there any other perks before I say yes to following you? Look at that passage again, Matthew chapter 4, 17 through 20. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting their net in the lake, for they were fishermen. Thank you, Matthew. How else would we know they were casting their nets into the lake? Don't you love that? I'm sorry, that's the way my brain works when I read the Bible. Hey, thanks, Matthew. And then he said, come, follow me, and what? I will make you fishers of men. Then at once they left their nets and they followed him. Now we got to start with verse 17 as we break this down. This whole idea of following and fishing. Because it's vitally important that you don't miss the very first part of this verse or this passage. What it is exactly that Jesus is preaching. And it's his message. His message. And that was, once again, a very simple and very clear message. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And we have to start here with Jesus' call because this idea is theologically rich, friends. It's theologically brilliant. You see, in the Old Testament, repentance, and I know that's a big Bible word, so let me kind of break it down. Repentance means kind of like turn away from what you were doing. Do the 180, stop doing what you know is not right because you know that that's not what Jesus teaches. So repent is kind of like 180. Repenting, I'm walking away, I'm going to stop doing the porn, I'm going to stop doing the alcohol, I'm going to stop cheating on my taxes. You know what we're talking about. It's like stop doing what you know you shouldn't be doing because it's called sin. So in the Old Testament, repentance was always a precursor for God doing something. Anywhere that you read in the Old Testament, repentance came before God actually showing up and doing something else. So in essence, it was a preparation for something big. And now we're in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus is using the same language to that reader who were the Hebrews, and they were reading this, and he's using this same language that they're familiar with. So basically, Jesus was saying out of the gate here with this call, I want you to repent. I want you to turn your heart. I want you to turn your affections. I want you to turn your attention where? Back to God. Back to God. So what will happen? You will recognize what it is that God is about to do in your life. I can't do in your life until you recognize that you are not with me in your life right now. In essence, that's it. Something big is about to happen. That being the kingdom of heaven is near. Watch for it. Look for it. Expect for it to happen. Get ready. That is vitally important. This was vitally important for these men to hear before Jesus extends his call to them. It was captivating. It was enticing. It was like bait, all pun intended, to kind of get their attention of what he was about to say next. And if you still may be wondering, why is that the case? Because here's the thing, friends. If you are lacking sharing your faith in your life, then I would suggest, according to Scripture, there is something that you need to repent from. Something is a hindrance for you becoming willing and ready to follow Jesus and fish for men. Following always, always follows repenting. So here's what we see happen next. During one of those moments from Jesus in verse 18 through 19, Jesus then extends his call to these very common, average, ordinary guys named Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who we all now name our kids after, right? Okay, look at what he says next, verse 18 through 19. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting their nets into the lake, thanks Matthew, for they were fishermen. And then he says, come, follow me, and I will make you what? Exactly. It's not always the concept that we think when we extend an invitation for you today of like, what is following Jesus actually meaning? I'm telling you what it means right now. I'm not going to mix it up anymore. I'm not going to confuse it anymore. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. More spiritual? No. More disciplined? No. A better person? No. More holy? No. Smarter? No. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So in essence, Jesus is saying this. Guys, follow me and I'm going to make you something that you currently aren't. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, Luke, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're the different perspectives of Jesus, different angles of viewpoints of the life of Jesus. Luke is the really intelligent one because Luke is a doctor. So when you read Luke and the account of Luke, you'll see kind of more detailed information. Luke likes to give the evidence of this actually happening in the life of Jesus or in and around the life of Jesus. So Luke is going to go a little bit more descriptive with that, break it down, easily understood in that kind of concept because that's the way it is. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 10, he breaks down this story with a little bit more fisherman language. And he says this, that Jesus said, from now on, I am going to make you, or you are going to fish for men. So I am not going to, where you see in Matthew where we're at is I'm going to make you a fisher for men. He says, I'm going to now, you're going to fish for men, which basically kind of meant you are now going to catch men. That's what it meant. And if you were to go read that from Luke's perspective in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, you'll see that there's the introduction that's kind of similar of sorts to Jesus and his soon-to-be disciples, and it's a little bit more defined. And by the way, if you ever, and I said this before, but if you're really struggling, John's a great first place to start. I mean, it really is. It's an easy read, but if you really want it broken down anymore, and you were that student in school that you got the Macbeth or you got the Romeo and Juliet that you had to read in school, and you're like, dude, just find me the Cliff Notes. You know what I'm saying? Right? Go read Mark. Mark's the Cliff Notes, okay? Just so you know. And that'll break it down even more. However, in Luke, Jesus, because he's more descriptive, Jesus has to prove himself a little bit with Peter and his companions first. So Jesus starts off the conversation with telling them how they need to fish. And he tells them, you need to put your nets into deeper water, in which Peter challenges. Duh, Peter challenges everything, right? You know anything about the Bible, Peter challenges, but after this mini debate, Peter does what Jesus tells him to do, and wouldn't you know, Jesus is right. And that's a whole nother series and a great thought. By the way, you can write this down today. Jesus is always right. Okay, just write that down. Walk away. All right, and then they catch more fish than they can handle. Then right after this huge moment, Jesus calls the first two disciples to follow him. And then he gives them a promise. Brace yourselves, ready? You're going to fish for men. From now on, you're going to fish for men. Now, what you probably don't always see or read in the text when you're doing this is this. They got to be thinking something like you and I would be thinking. After Jesus says, follow me, why? Because I'm going to make you fishers of men. Oh, really? That's it? They got to be thinking this. What did you just say? We're going to do what? Sweet, let's do it. You know, I mean, that's what's got to be thinking. I'm sure they're thinking that this is just an offer just too good to be turned down, right? I mean, that's what they got to be thinking. They probably view it the same way. Hey, Josh, follow me and I will make you a fisher for men. What? What? That's as good as it gets. Go back to verse 19 in Matthew. I want to explain something else that you might not understand. You might want to underline this part. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, let me explain something for you of how vitally rich this portion of Scripture is right here. Something you need to get. The call to follow right here in this passage in the Greek is an adverb. So in essence, it is expressing a command. This is where we confuse it, friends. follow me. For some reason, we put a question mark on the end of follow me. We put a question mark. And in the original text, written in Greek, in the New Testament, it's an adverb, and it is expressing a command, meaning something like this. When Jesus said, follow me, he didn't say, follow me. Want to do it? He said, follow me. In essence, he was saying, your place is following after me. It is following after me, which means this: for the follower of the way, if that's you today, born again believer of Jesus, if that's you today, I've said yes to him, I have followed him, then here's what you got to get today, and you need to write this down. Following is not a question, it is an instruction. Following is not a question, it is an instruction. And when I say it like that, it kind of changes the rules to the game a little bit, doesn't it? Some of us are thinking, what have I gotten myself into? Really? You mean I have to? But here's what's so amazing to me. Even after he expresses this command, your place is following after me. Look at what they did in verse 20. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. Now, once again, I want to unpack the Bible for you so you understand this a little bit, friends. When he's saying this to fishermen. This is their job. This is their livelihood. Their families are counting on them. They're just now meeting a stranger who's on the shore and says, hey, have you tried the other side? We've been fishing all night. What are you talking about? They're sailors. They probably dropped a couple bombs in there. You never know. Fine, we'll do it. Can't hardly even pull them in. This is their life. Think about the action. And what, once again, what if we presented following him the same way today? Kind of makes all of us, including me, think about what we're doing or what we're not doing in following him. Or about our griping of like, dadgum, Christy called me again today to serve in Sea City. I did that for 3 straight weeks. I was supposed to be off today. Ben, that idiot, gosh. Ben, I'm sure you've been called idiot when someone hangs up the phone before. I'm not doubting that. Chad. Freaking dork. Why does he want me to help again, man? This is crazy. Does he not realize it's 152 degrees right now? It's in the middle of July in Arizona. Think about this. Think about this. Look at their response. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Something like this is what really went down, just so you know, if it were included in the Bible. They go back to their dad and say, sorry, dad, to leave you hanging, but we got to go follow this preacher. I mean, I know that we've only known him for like 5 minutes, but we have to follow him because he told us it is our place in following him. And when I say it that way, it just doesn't seem too realistic, does it? But it is. And here's what's even crazier. Later on in this passage, in verses 21 through 22, the same thing happens with two new dudes. James and John. Sorry, Dad, but we gotta go. We gotta go. Why? Because it was an instruction, not a suggestion. It's quiet in here. Is it just because you haven't had your coffee today? Now, I got to believe these guys were simple men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They didn't have a clue of what Jesus was talking about, being fishers of men. But here's the amazing thing. Just a few chapters later, by the end of the New Testament, these guys, simple, ordinary guys, just like you getting called to serve in Sea City, just like you getting called to serve on greeters, just like you getting called to serve in prepare ministry, same and ordinary guys, became just that. They became fishers for men. These four guys eventually understood what it meant to be following. And that being this, to follow meant to fish, and to fish meant for men. Because after all, according to my Bible, found people find people. Found people find people. Jesus, in essence, said this: I am going to make you what you aren't. And if we're here today, what's amazing is again, like I said earlier, 2,000 plus years later, we're worshiping and following a Jewish carpenter. And that's just stinking amazing to me, because these four guys out of the gate got this whole concept of, there's no other place for me in this world. I know I've been doing this all my life, but there is no other place but to follow Jesus. I believe wholeheartedly in the words that he has just instructed me in. Wow. Wow. And here's what's even crazier, because sometimes you're like, well, I have to be perfect and all this, that, whatever. No. Listen, we learn a lot about these guys in the Bible. And as they learned this process from Jesus, they were terrible at it at times. You probably shared your faith, you know, once you followed Jesus and had a moment of opportunity to share your faith, and you've just blown it. You're like, dude, I have pushed them farther away from the gates of heaven than I have in bringing them closer. You know, you've had those moments. I'm not even going to ask for a raise of hands, because we're all failures right there. We've blown it when it comes to sharing our faith. These guys, one time Jesus was preaching this message on faith. That was his big idea, faith, faith, faith. And all of a sudden, all these little kids started gathering up at the feet of Jesus, playing around, all this stuff. And it was just total commotion. And people were getting distracted, and the disciples were getting angry, and they were mad. They're like, kids should be seen, not heard. So they get so ticked off that they go up and they're like, get out of here, scurries all of the kids away. And Jesus is like, whoa, what are you guys doing? That's my illustration. You guys just shoot away my visual. Man, I would not want to be alone with him at the campfire that night with Jesus. He would have probably dropped them dead on the spot. They just didn't get the concept, because it's a learned concept. And then there was this one time, oh my gosh, it was just bad. He's like, I'm going to give you, power to speak in my name and cast out demons, all this stuff. And this is going to be a testimony of who I am. And there's this one time that they go and they try to cast the demon out of the demon out of somebody, and the demon won't budge. He will not budge. So they come back to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we tried to do this and the demon won't go away. What's up with that? This is ridiculous. And Jesus said, well, did you pray? Well, no. Dudes, you got to pray. You got to plug into the power. What are you thinking? Come on, guys. Duh. But here's what's amazing. By the end of the story, all these people, fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, doctors, they don't just become followers of Jesus. They also become fishers of men. Fishers of men. Are you getting this point yet? Here's the idea. It's not enough just to follow. It's not. Because followers fish. Found people find people. And maybe you're here today. And along the way, you've become a little confused. And you've asked yourself this question: do I really know Jesus Christ intimately? Maybe you're like me in my earlier years. I gave my life to Jesus November 17th, 1976. I was at the age of 5. They talked about hell. You've heard this story I don't know how many times. Bottom basement of Polk City Evangelical Free Church, and they were talking about hell, and I didn't want to go there. So I said yes to Jesus. I made that profession of faith. I placed a faith in him, and I grew in my faith through time. Right? But maybe you're there, and for the next like 5 years, I asked Jesus into my heart another 732 times. You've been there, right? You know what I'm talking about. Just to make sure. Maybe you're out there and you've questioned from time to time, am I really a follower of the way? Well, here's what's crazy. The Bible actually gives us proof that you are a follower of the way. And here's my response to you if you're one of those people today. Get to the side of your boat, pull up your stringer and see if there's any fish on it. If there's no fish on it, then you need to ask, are you really following? Because followers fish. Followers fish for men. It's called fruit. Evidence. Evidence. Followers fish. Found people. Find people. So with all that, let me give you three quick questions about following and fishing today, and we'll wrap it up. Three quick questions about following and fishing today. Number one, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? What does it really mean to follow Jesus? Number one, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? There we go. All right, yeah. Here's what many of us need to hear today in this room. It's no small decision to follow Jesus. I'm not going to paint the picture rosy butterflies and peanut butter cups. And I say peanut butter cups because I like peanut butter cups, okay? It's no small decision to follow Jesus. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. You cannot follow Jesus and stay the same. It's impossible. And I don't mean to scare anybody with that. I just want you to be aware. So please get this. To follow Jesus means this. To set your goals and your pleasures to the side and embrace the purposes that God created you to be. That's what it means. You no longer live. I now live in Christ. You die to yourself and you gain Jesus. We've said this so many times, but that's what it means. And those purposes are to know him in a personal way. And then to fish for men by teaching them Christ's commands that you have learned along the way. Now, this is what Jesus can do for you if you genuinely follow him. Catch this part of the passage. He says, follow me. Listen to this next part. I will make you. You can't leave this part out. I will make you fishers of men. Jesus didn't simply command his disciples to be followers or to be fishers of men. Like, follow me. All right, cool. You're fishers of men. No. That's not how it worked. All right? He promised to make them fishers of men, which means this. You can't do it on your own. Because chances are many of us haven't been doing very good on our own. Jesus basically said this, of course you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand how to do it. And that's because Jesus, when he said, I will make you fishers of men, Jesus wasn't talking about a method. He was talking about a process. He was talking about a process. He was implying something like this. I want you to leverage something, I want to leverage something temporal in your life for something eternal. And that being this. You are going to be perfectly placed and strategically located in your life and throughout your life to be fishers for men. And in essence, what Jesus is saying this, duh, did you really think that I had you in Maricopa by accident? Or let's get a little closer. Do you really think that I have you at that job by accident? Do you really think I have you there to earn money for your family? Do you really think that I am going to make you go to that Christmas party with those family members that you despise to make you miserable? Or to direct you to the eggnog which has been spiked? No, that's not why I have you there. I am putting you in that position so you can fish for men. Oh, we're getting deep here now, aren't we? And this is one I get so tired of. Gosh, I get so tired of this. You heard it last week. Matt's brilliant in sharing the gospel. He's very simplistic. He shared the one verse method last week. And Matt, you know why Matt is so great at it? Here's why. He has the gift of evangelism. No, he really does. And that is a gift. I do not have the gift of evangelism. I really don't, but I'm not afraid to share my faith. Why? Because I have grown closer in following him, and he has made me more of a fisher for them. He's just very gifted at it. And I hear this all the time, and some of you, and even that, in which I don't have a problem. I just don't have a problem sharing my faith anymore. Even though I don't have the gift of evangelism, I still have the call to evangelism. So do you, by the way, if you are following him. So I get really tired of this. People come up and like, dude, you guys just got it so easy. The man, this is what you do for a living. You're a preacher. It just comes so natural to you, man. Do you have any idea the moment that I tell somebody what I am or what I do, how quickly I get turned off? I would give anything to trade places with you for one day. You have the hook up, all pun intended. So stop giving me that excuse, because my Bible says differently. Here's what I'm trying to help you understand with this thought. God knows you can't naturally fish unless you follow. So he calls you to follow, and then once you follow completely, John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease, then he can make you a fisher for men. Broken down, you don't fish by yourself. God fishes for you. Maybe that's, if that's the way it really is, if that's actually the truth of the Bible with this idea, then maybe that's why we're not catching fish quite like we should be catching fish today. Maybe we got a whole lot of people who look like fishermen because they get up and come to church every Sunday, or they serve 2 times a month in Sea City, or 1.3 times a month in Prepare Ministries, or they give that $20 in the offering every once in a while. Got a whole lot of people that look like, I got a decal on the back of my car. It says COC. I'm a fisherman. We give away invite cards. You don't give the invite card away because you're afraid, so you leave it on the gas pump. Y'all know who I'm talking about right now, don't you? We got a lot of people. You're putting on the fishing gears. You know the kind of get up that you and I would think a fisherman is supposed to look like. We're attempting to fish our way, which unfortunately that's the problem. And we never really actually, you know, throw the line out of the boat, because if by chance I caught a big fish, they might pull me in the water and I might be in over my head. So I'm just going to look like a fisherman and stay in the boat because it's really safe right here in the boat. But man, don't I look good, because I just went to Bass Pro today. I went to COC Bass Pro today and I look good. But we're really not doing anything that remotely looks or acts like fishing. Are you getting this yet? Following precedes fishing, yes. However, truly understand following will then enable us to be made fisher of men. By who? Jesus. Because after all, followers fish, and found people find people. Number two, how does fishing for men relate to following Christ? How does fishing for men relate to following Christ? The common image that you and I have of fishermen today is this: a guy with a fishing pole casting a lure out into a stream, out into a river, out into a pond, out into a lake. But such was not the case when Jesus was calling these supposed fishermen or these first disciples. These guys caught fish differently. They caught fish and they experienced catching fish differently. They found that their best fishing took place with nets and, keywords, at night. At night. Now I'm going to go a little bit deep here. Hang on, not confusing, but deep. Listen, at night. We know this to be true because in Luke chapter 5, because Luke is the detailed guy, where it says, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Which begs the question, how exactly did they fish for at nighttime? And I want to thank you for asking. Let me explain to you how. They used a very powerful and effective method called light. Now, stay with me. This is how they fished at night. They used light. You see, here's something that you may not know. Fish are attracted to light. Fish are attracted to shiny, bright. Haven't you ever wondered why those lures look so stupid? They're attracted to light. And in several occasions in Scripture, here's what's interesting. Jesus used the same method of fishing for men and attracting people to him. Check out just this one example, John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am, what? The light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm clapping again, and I'm always going to clap. Here's the secret bait. Here's the secret bait for being a fisher of men. The light of every believer is the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Think about this. When is the last time someone came up to you and said, there is just something different about you? What is it? Some of us are like, I don't think I've ever had that. Is the light there? Is it on? I often have people come up to, what is, you're weird. I get that a lot too. Well, my weirdness kind of comes from Jesus. But if you were to meet Matt Balgard for the first time today, you would say, what is up with you, bro? Thank you for asking. Let me share with you. My wife gets it all the time. I could go on and on with people that there's just something different about you. And it's not because of your last week's Facebook post about the political rant. That's not what's different about you or your position on this moral idea in our society. That's not what's different about you. That is you trying to create light. Don't let me go there. I don't want to go there right now. Here's the deal. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7. For God said, let what? Light shine out of darkness. Made his what? Light shine. Where? In our hearts. Why? To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to what? Show that this all-surpassing power is where? From God and not from us. You see, friends, this right here is how he makes us effective fishers of men. It's when we recognize that we are not the light. We reflect the light. We reflect the light. Somebody, please say wow again one more time, just so I know that you're there. Okay, cool, because I said wow when I discovered that. All right, listen. There you have it again. Followers fish. Found people find people. Lastly, a question many here probably have wondered a time or two in their lives. What does it require? What's it going to cost me to follow Jesus? Oh gosh, I have this all the time. What do I have to give up to follow Jesus? What does it require to follow Jesus? In the two examples that we've used today, Peter and Andrew, James and John, there's one common theme. I'll just talk about this. There's a call. There's a call. And if you were to take any other examples in Scripture or even use your own as an example, there's one common theme. It's a call. Your salvation moment, that's your yes moment. I was called. Something was calling me. Right? And here's what I mean. Don't miss this. Peter and Andrew, what? Left their nets. At once, on the spot, suggesting to us from the Word of God that they left their current employment behind. When Jesus said, your place is following after me. Okay. Who am I to question this? Okay. James and John, they left their father, suggesting following Christ takes precedence over actually people in close proximity in your life. On the spot. Could even be family. So the requirement of following Jesus may not be exactly literally as we just read with these first disciples, but in essence, figuratively, it's the same thing. Here's what it boils down to. What does it mean to follow Christ, right? Please don't miss this. Might want to write this down. For everyone, the call does require the same response. Regardless of what it comes in the form of, it requires the same response. And those two choices are this. Choice A is to follow. Choice B is not to follow. There is no middle ground. And I think the problem is today, friends, we've got a lot of people that are middle ground followers. I'm sorry I say that out loud, but I'm being honest with you. To follow is all out. It's 100%. I told you that earlier. It's everything I have for everything that you give to me. That's what it is. And here's what I mean by that. Listen carefully to this statement I'm about to make, because I don't want you to misunderstand this. The worst thing in life for you may not be that you fail. That the greatest failures occur when we succeed. Listen, the greatest failures occur when we succeed in areas that are not God's will for our lives and are not true to the clear teaching of Scripture. Those are the greatest failures. Here's what I mean. Successes that keep us from pursuing God's real plan for our lives. The worst thing in your life is not failing, but succeeding in a worldly pursuit, having left Christ out of it. Think about this. All right, let me wrap this up. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And here's the most fascinating thing about this entire portion of Scripture, for me. The most fascinating thought. And sometimes you just can read through it and not get it. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'll help you out. We all were once fish too. Think about it. We all were once fish too. And if that's the truth, then maybe, just maybe, Jesus was on to something when he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. When he thought about this, he said, here's why I'm going to use you. Because you were a fish once too. That's why God called us to be fishers of men and included us in his plan to fish for men. Because we were fish too, we know how fish think. Because we were fish too, we know how fish respond. Because we were fish too, we know what fish eat. Because we were once fish too, we know how fish react. Because we were once fish too, we know where fish are located. We know where the schools in which they swim in are, which is this big idea. You have been and will continue to be perfectly positioned in somebody's life to be a fisher for them. Wow. Wow. Please hear me clearly today, celebrators, in closing. Jesus Christ did not come from heaven to this earth and die on a cross to make you nice. He came and gave you something and prepared you for something to be dangerous for the cause of Jesus Christ. Here's the problem today. I'm going to step on some toes, just forewarning, and I'm about done. Here's the problem today. Follow me, for many people who call themselves Christians, many people who may even be sitting in this room today, follow me has meant nothing more than just this, a fire insurance policy, a get out of hell free card, a whoo, glad I made that right last Sunday. And it doesn't matter how I live from now on. Pastor Josh talked about grace and how it covers everything. Leave me out of it. You verbally accepted Jesus, but you've never transformationally followed him. Big difference. Big difference. And you might be wondering how I can say that. Some of you are a little ticked off. You're like, dude, you got no writing on my mind right now. How can you say that? Because many people in this room, many people who call themselves followers of the way, they're not fishing. You've been found, but you hadn't been doing much finding ever since. And if you're truly following, there's fish on your stringer. No amens. There's fish on your stringer. That's what my Bible says. And here's what I mean. Here's what I mean by all that to help you out, soften the blow a little bit. Many of us have made it the goal of our lives to just arrive at death safely. And guys, That type of thinking's got to change if you ever want to be dangerous for Jesus, man. It has to. Remember what the goal of the gospel is, and don't miss this. The goal of the gospel is to live it, not just agree with it. That is the goal of the gospel, and this is it in a nutshell. Followers eventually fish if they're really following. And that also means if you're not fishing, you may not be following. Let that one sink in. That's the bottom line thought of today. Followers fish. Found people find people. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm almost done. We actually still got to take communion today. Listen, friends, let me wrap it up with this, all right? There's a big difference, a big, big difference between compassion and emotion, okay? Being emotional about something will cause you to cry, but you'll get over it. That's what you tell your kids all the time when they're emotional. You'll get over it. Being filled with compassion will actually move you to walk across the street and tell the blind person that they're about ready to walk out into oncoming traffic and die. Being moved with compassion will move you to cross the street and share your faith. So we're going to celebrate communion in closing of today's series. And what we do by celebrating communion is this. It's very simple. When Jesus gave this as a symbolic picture to his disciples at the Last Supper, he gave it to them for one primary reason, for them to remember what they were about to see. He'd been teaching, he'd been training, he'd been telling them that it's all coming to this point, but here's what's going to happen. It's going to all climactically arrive within the next 24 to 48 hours and a few days after that, okay? And when you see all of that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember it. And because we're visual people and we use visuals all the time, you know, Jesus even used visuals as well. He was very creative. He said, I'm going to give you a visual to carry on into the church that you will start. And this is the visual. I'm going to give you the blood, which is the wine, and that represents my blood that has to be spilled by the perfect lamb. And I'm going to give you a piece of bread, which is the body, which is broken for your sake. It's bruised for our iniquities. So you understand everything that he gave, this visual picture. And sometimes when if you're coming forward and you're just thinking, I'm just taking a shot of grape juice and a little wafer, you're missing the whole point of communion. The whole point of communion is for you to remember, go back to the point in which you said yes to Jesus. Go back to the time in which you said, I will follow you. And remember what comes with following him. It's fishing for men. That's what it's about. By telling other people the good news in which you've received, right? You've received. You got it. Why wouldn't you give that good news away? So as you come forward and celebrate communion today, here's a couple questions to ask. Number one, again, I ask, how willing and ready are you to follow Jesus and fish? Remember this, found people find people, period. Followers fish if they're really following. Fishers, fishing followers know that they are incapable of fishing without God. So they eventually have this aha moment in their life and they realize that it's bigger than them and God has actually, he's included me in his plan of fishing for men. So cool. So cool. And there is a rush. I'm sorry. There's a rush in sharing your faith and seeing someone cross over from death to life. There's a rush. And I get to be a part of that. Real followers are always fishing. And God's plan was to use the local church to outgear his followers to fish. Number two, who are the ones that are getting away? A visual. And look at me, how creative I am. Am I? A fish visual. At the sides of the stage, when you come up to take communion, is a simple fish. And on the fish, which Brenda was so incredibly awesome to cut out 7,000 fishes this week, are three lines. Blank. Who are the fish that are getting away in your life? If you're a follower, then you're a fisher for men. What's the name of that coworker? What's the name of that friend? What's the name of that family member? Write it down and keep this thing where you won't lose it. Sorry. Don't lose it. Put it in front of you. Refrigerator. Tape it to your mirror. Wherever. Put it on your steering wheel. Wherever you want to go. Who are the fish that you're not fishing for that God has strategically placed you in their lives to fish for them? You got them. You got them. If you're truly a follower, then he has strategically placed you to fish for them. Do that. Lastly, this, real simple. Have you ever followed Jesus? Have you ever left your nets at once and followed Jesus? Is there a moment in your life that you can recall and say, I placed a faith in Jesus Christ at that time? If there's not, then my Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of following him. And I know I didn't paint a great picture of what it means to follow today, but I love what I do, and I've been doing it for 20 years. And I've met a lot of people here at COC that love what they're doing, serving here, serving Jesus. Really, the reward is greater than the price. There's no doubt about it. But if that's you today and you've never, ever said yes to Jesus, when people are coming forward to take communion, grab their fishies, I'm going to be here in the front. I'm going to meet you. All you have to do is just come forward and say, I'd like to give my life to Jesus today. I'll be right here. I'll meet you halfway. No one will even know that you're coming because they'll all be just going this way. So everybody's coming. This is a great day to do it. You know what I'm saying? Just join in the crowd. Like, okay, I'll just go on up. You know what I'm saying? Do that. Okay? I'd love to introduce you to Jesus today. Let's do that. Jesus, thanks for today. I thank you for being an incredible God, incredible Father. I pray that you move in our lives. I pray that you move in everybody's life today and help them understand. Last week was a great how I share my faith, but this is the week that we step on some toes and why we share our faith. So move in people's life this week. Help them share their faith boldly. Help them start fishing. Be active followers and start fishing. We love you, Jesus. In your son's name.